Well, good morning again. It's great to see all of you guys here today. It's great to, as I said, to be here. If you haven't already, I want you to turn to God's Word. Just open it up to John chapter 15, because I want to walk through that passage again with you as we get ready to get started. And I'm excited that all of you are here, that you're watching online. It's always exciting for me to just get a report in from the men and women in technology, to know the large number of people that are watching online. We've also got a much larger group meeting here this morning in person, here the first service of the day. And I just want to say, this is great. Amen. Let's give God a hand clap of praise, would you, that we can do that. for whatever reason, it's just good to see you here. And that's really what I want to talk about for the next several weeks, in getting us ready to celebrate the high holy day on the Christian calendar. And that, of course, is Easter and the resurrection of our precious Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so if you notice, these next several weeks are going to be about preparation. And I want you to understand that. It's about preparing us. It's about getting ready. Catherine, always, as we get into this season, you know, there's certain things she does at our house. And she does such a great job of making me enjoy the home in a lot of different ways by changing how it looks as we go through the seasons. And one of the things is getting ready for Easter, doing different things around the house just to remind us and prepare for that. And so I want to take that and move that into the area of us spiritually being ready for Easter Sunday, because as the title of the series tells you, I believe that we've got a real challenge in celebrating Easter, because this year, as well as last year, have been so different in all of our lives, and that there is a need for us to prepare and get ready to celebrate Easter and to have a rejoicing in our heart the way that God is worthy to be celebrated. And so Jesus said in John 15, again, I want to just read through that passage again. He says, Jesus said, "Abide in me, and I in you. The branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you." In other words, you and I cannot bear fruit. We can't make it evident that we belong to Him, unless you and I are abiding in Jesus, in Christ. Jesus said, just to clarify his analogy, he said, "I am the vine, you are the branches." And so, question, Q&A. In the vine and the branch, where is the life? Where does the life come from? This is where you answer. The vine. Bah. Just testing, make sure you're paying attention. All right, so the life is in the vine, right? If the branch gets disconnected, the branch withers and die. We all on the same page? All right, so God's leading us through this, okay? He's making us think here. He said, "You're the branches, I'm the vine. Whoever abides in me," who stays connected to me, "and I am in him, he it is that bears much fruit. Because apart from me, you can't do anything." And so the next 5 weeks, we're going to be in a preparation mode. And the reason is because the last 11 months, I believe, in just thinking about my own life as your pastor and as a shepherd here of the Lord, I know the last 11 months, now 12 months, have had a huge impact on me. Number one, physically, because I did get COVID, and so I was physically ill. But then there's also been the spiritual challenge, because I have experienced, as I'm sure you have, an upward march and climb spiritually, where you have struggled in many ways just to stay on an even keel in these days. We all thought by now it would be over with, right? We thought by now we'd be through this, and we're not. And it doesn't seem like it's going to quit any time in the future. And so you've got to deal with that mentally and emotionally. The last 11 months have been unprecedented, meaning the world has had this type of situation before. You know, we go back to 1918, but I don't know that there's anybody here that was alive in 1918, maybe, but for the most part, no. I certainly wasn't there. And so there's potential that these days, because they're new, because we don't have anything to compare them to, we don't have anything that has really prepared us for a day like what we're in right now, that these last 12 months have taken something that we need to acknowledge, that it has taken its toll on us, certainly physically, if you've been physically ill. It's been an emotional impact on us because of forced isolation and just the changes. We've had relational challenges. You know, I don't know of any time in my ministerial career and gift that God has given me that when I come to church, I've ever wanted to hug people more than I do right now. It takes everything in me not to just want to grab you whenever I get close to you and just hug you. Why? Because that's what these days have done to me. And then, of course, they've also, I think, affected us spiritually. So here's what I want you to understand. For the next 5 weeks leading up to Easter, I am not going to be talking about the virus. I'm not going to be dragging you through all of that. We're not going to be talking about that. We're not going to be talking about stats. I'm not going to be talking about death. Yeah, you can go ahead and clap if you want to, you know, and celebrate that. I know some of you want to do that. Rather, here's the thing. I want to focus. My whole plan is to focus on spiritually recalibrating our lives. That's what I want you to think. I want you to think about, and I want to just try to bring you up to get you to think and to visualize how this has had an impact on you, maybe in ways that you don't even know. I want you to think about how potentially has my guard been down? That your guard's just been down spiritually, and you've let some things happen that you didn't think about them happen. I want to see if I'm able to show you and just prove to you that maybe you've been vulnerable spiritually and you didn't really realize that it was going to do you that way. Maybe you thought you had your guard up better. So I want you to know, if you've got your life point outline, it's great to be able to say that, pull it out of the chair in front of you, and I want us to look number one. And the first thing in this message this morning, I want to talk about the challenge of time. All right, the challenge of time. You know, these last 11 months, a lot of times, one of the things that we can talk about is how that it has changed our lives, and I couldn't agree more. And I hear a whole lot from people about how they have been affected. There is one thing, honestly, I have not heard us talk about. I've not heard it talked about really anywhere. And it just kind of jumped out at me. I haven't heard any of us talking about how we realized that we have been in some days where God has given us for the last 12 months a huge amount of time. We all went through that time where maybe we were off work or we were working at home. We had a lot of time, and it was nice kind of at first. You know, you make pies, make cakes, you know, make something like that and kind of munch and on it and everything. And that was great till you know, your belt, your shirt, your dress started getting a little bit taut and everything. And you enjoyed that kind of having that break and everything. But here's the question. This is in your life point, Alan. The question is this. Did we use our time strategically in ways that served us, our emotional and spiritual health? And I want you to think about that. I've had all this time. I've had 12 months where so much has been changed, maybe where the demands of my days have not been so tremendous, that I've had a lot more, you and I have had a lot more me time. And what I want you to think about is, has it made a difference for me emotionally and spiritually to where I am better because of that? So let me ask you some questions. And I want to give a little caveat here. And I want you to understand, when I ask this question, because I feel like that the potential for us all being a tad bit sensitive in these days because of emotional turmoil. And so I just want to kind of give a little caveat here. I'm not asking any of these questions to try to shame you. And I want you to hear my heart on that. I've been drugged through this just like you have. And so the questions I'm going to ask are just, I think, honest questions to be asked. And so I'm not trying to shame anybody. Okay, so I want you to understand that. So you don't have to be looking down at your feet or, you know, thinking, Lord, I wish I'd stayed home today, you know, whatever, anything like that. Because I include myself in that, even in putting this in part of the message, that there are those times I've needed to wake up from a spiritual slumber, because you get caught up in the days that we're going on. And we and I allow ourselves at different times to just get into a spiritual drift. We're just kind of drifting through. And so here are the questions. And they're not in your life point outline, so just listen. If you were asked if you grew spiritually the last 11 months, think about how you would answer that. Could I say, man, I've had some time. I have grown spiritually through things I've read and things like that. If you were asked if you had learned anything new about the God of your soul the last 11 months, because you picked up a book maybe you'd been wanting to read, or just your time in the Word had just opened up some things, what would you say? How often during these days, when you think about the God of the universe, do you consider Him to be present with you, that you go through your day and you just got that awareness of His presence with you, and you're mindful of that, you think about that, God is with me, and your mind is kind of focused on that? Do you feel close to Him? Do you feel close to the Lord? Do you think about Him? He is my Father. And my Father, right now, in the midst of all of this, He is close to me and He cares for me. And you sense Him, that He's close with you. Or is it just like He's gotten to be just somebody that you read about in the Bible? I read about Him in all the stories. And think about it, if you were to say, okay, I've got a spiritual tank, right? I've got a spiritual tank in my life where I can kind of pour in spiritual gasoline and that kind of thing. And this is what I kind of run off of spiritually. So if you think about that, how does the gauge on your spiritual tank read right now? Are you pouring into your spiritual tank? Are you refurbishing what gives you gas to live the spiritual life day after day after day? Would you say, my tank, Pastor, by the grace of God, I'm at 3/4. Maybe I'm even edging up a little bit toward full. Or would you say, I'm at the halfway mark? Or, would we honestly say, well, to be truthful, I've had a yellow light that's been on for quite some time. I don't want to admit it, but that light's on, it's been blinking. And so honestly, I'm running on fumes. I haven't done well at home, haven't done well at work, and how I come across and how I respond. You say, well, Pastor, I don't really know where my spiritual tank is. All right, well, let me ask you this. Have you been good to be around the last 11 months? Does your spouse wish, Lord, I wish I could have been someplace else, rather than trapped at home with him or her? It hasn't been a joyride. How would those you live with and are around the most, how would they answer? I have to think about that. To be honest with you, Catherine would say amen. She and I have had our moments, okay? And honestly, after we've had a moment, I would step back when I go off in another room and I'm like, where did that come from? Why did I just do that? And then you've got to go in. And you say, I blew it. Wish I'd kept my mouth shut. Because if I kept it shut, I wouldn't be doing this now, right? But you've got to go in there and say, okay, I was wrong. Again, And so you do that and you just realize, what caused that? What caused it is because perhaps there's a yellow light blinking on your spiritual gas tank. And you and I are not where we thought we are. I mean, we got to ask ourselves, how have we handled this crisis? How are we doing with regards to that? You know, your own personal health crisis, the health crisis of a loved one or a friend. We've faced the suffering of maybe the loss of loved ones, the loss of friends or people around us that, you know, that we've seen people leave this world. We've gone through the inconvenience of not having electricity and not having water. How did we handle that? What kind of grade would we give ourselves with regards to that? And what about loneliness, you know, with isolation, that kind of thing? You're like, Pastor, what is the point of all this? The point is this, and I want you to listen carefully. I've got this written down. I want you to listen to me, because here's an insight I'm going to give you. If you want to write this down, you can do that. I didn't put it in your notes. Listen, the purpose of God for your life and my life have been major building blocks for the trials of your day. In other words, God has had this whole world going through a crisis. You understand this has been ordered by the Lord, right? God is in charge. Who controls the heavens? God does. Do we not pray to Him when we are in a drought? Do we not pray to Him when we've had enough rain and say, oh Lord, you know, stay your hand? Who do we turn to when there is a plague? We turn to Him. Have there not been those times in Holy Scripture where the Lord says, I'm the one who controls whether you live or whether you die? God is in control. God is sovereign. And so the purpose of God for my life and your life are major building blocks of the trials that we go through. I have been going through this and you have been going through this because the need of my life are directly connected to this virus deal. God is addressing needs in my life. This is not like something that you and I are victims. That's because we are children of His and nothing happens in our life by chance. God is at work here. And God has brought this trial for the last 12 months into my life and your life. Number one, it's testing our faith. And you got to ask yourself, how have you done with that? You know, have you not been in the Word? This trial, all of this stuff is to wean us away from earthly things. It reveals to us what you and I really love in life. It teaches us to value the blessings of God. And I think a huge one in all of this, what we have been going through the last 12 months causes us to look up and to long for heaven. Has this not made earth a whole lot less attractive? That's all by the design of the Almighty. Because sometimes we like it down here way too much, right? 12 months ago in February 2020, you could gather here on the hill. We had a great time. We love getting together, don't we? I mean, you know, that's why we have three services. We love it. We love being in the Word. We love singing. We love doing the things that we do as a church, worshiping God on Sunday and Wednesday and other times you could do that. All right, I've got a series of statements. This is in your outline, so follow along with me. Question number one, can you honestly say that you have private, genuine worship at least weekly? And what I'm talking about is, do you have a worship time every day with your Creator? We haven't been able to gather. We haven't been able to do that now for 12 months. That's been sorely affected. The question is, in the midst of all of this, can you honestly say, I have continued to have private, genuine worship time with the Lord at least weekly? And here's the insight. It is the nature of this pandemic not to generate spiritual renewal, but spiritual drift. You see, I need to understand every day, as long as this keeps going on, the nature of what you and I are going through is going to cause us to want to drift. We will let other things demand our attention and our time so that our time in the Word and time alone with God is stolen. And you just have to understand that. That's going to happen. It is the nature of a pandemic. And here's the declaration. The times we are living in are no excuse to drift away from Him. God said, I did not permit this so that you could drift. I permitted it so that you wouldn't. And then here's the insight. The temptation of days like this will always be to focus on the circumstances rather than on the time itself. What helped me see this, Dallas Willard, in his book, The Divine Conspiracy, I think it just kind of gives us glasses to see these days and any days like them the way that we should. Here's what Willard said. He said, we are concerned with the circumstances. Listen, we're concerned with the circumstances we are living under. But that isn't what the Christian lives under. We don't live under circumstances. We live under the Father. Huh? And that is what we've talked about. That has been my point. You remember several weeks back, one of the things that I said that many of you have said just made an impact on you is that each of us who follow the Lord will live out every day assigned to us by the Father. You and I are not to fear these days. Maybe these days are designed to accomplish certain things. For some people, it's judgment, and it will carry them out into eternity. For some people, these days are designed to make them think about eternity. It is meant to give them that sense they're not in control. One of the best things that can happen to a lot of people is to think that they are the master of their soul, that they control the days of their life. God say, gives us something like this to teach us that we don't. This virus, any illness or world event cannot overturn God's decree for our lives. Isn't that a great thing? God says, I'm in control, and He's our security. So here's the insight. The times of our lives are not meant to be influenced by the circumstance of our days, but by our Father. And so when you and I are walking with Him, what I'm simply saying about that is then our circumstances change in their power of us. Why? Because my Father's involved in this. And so we've got 7 more days left. Next Sunday is the end of our 21-day opportunity to spend time before God, to be able to fast, to gain the attention of heaven for things in our life that nothing can change except Him. That we're wanting Him to give us a sharper edge. We're wanting Him to be involved in our family. We're wanting Him to lead us in the work that we do, the influence we have in the community. We've been praying as a church for God's blessing as we get ready to raise up this building for our children, for all that to get started, for God to bless us, continue to bless us financially, that Lord willing, we're going to get this building paid off quickly. Many of you have given so much sacrificially, but we've got more to do. But Lord willing, we believe God has led us to this because there are going to be some better days ahead. And we're going to have a lot more families that are coming, young people with children that are going to be coming. And we've got this great opportunity to do this in the name of the Lord. And so that's the reason that we have been having this fast. We have it every year. Why? Because we need God every year of our lives. Would you say amen to that? And so the point I want to ask you is this. You got to understand that the difficulty level for each of us that we have experienced to stay in the fast or the struggle you've had and you haven't entered in the fast, if you're not in the fast, or if you're having difficulty staying in the fast, that is giving you an indication of the strength of your flesh and the weakness of your spirit. That's what it's teaching you. It also indicates that the last 12 months have taken their toll on you spiritually in ways that maybe you didn't even understand. So that brings me to number 2, and that is the Jesus effect. So let me give this to you as quickly as I can. The Bible gives us a clear picture of how our Lord, listen, Jesus was intentional with how He lived out His days. And what I want to do is I want to do 2 examinations of the same passage of Scripture. And this is Mark chapter 1, verse 35, and I think it's verse 39 as well. And because this passage shows us a truth, and this is in your outline. The truth it shows us is, as I said, Jesus was intentional how he began every single day. And that's something that is hugely important in the midst of this pandemic. This is what we keep our eyes on, that we remember our Lord was intentional about how he started his day while he was here on earth. So I'm going to show you something up on the screen as we go through this passage. I'm going to read through Mark 1:35, and there's going to be some things to pop up, and you can fill in your notes on your outline. All right, so listen, first of all, it says, "Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up." So notice number one, our Lord had a set time in his life when he got up every day. Jesus had a set time to rise. He had a set time to plan his day. And it says, Jesus got up and he left the house and went off to a solitary place. Every day, Jesus got up at a certain time. And number two, he went to a solitary place. That's what our Lord did. How often? Every day. Every day. Jesus did that. Where Jesus got up, left the house, went off to a solitary place where he what? Prayed. That's the third thing. And then, of course, number four is the scripture, Mark 1:35. All right, so that is our Lord's life. The truth in your outline, morning prayer and scripture time was part of the rhythm of our Lord's spiritual life. And so if I want to be like Jesus, if you want to be like him, that needs to be part of your daily rhythm. That's what you do. That's what you work into your life. And we know it was part of his life because write down somewhere Luke 5, verse 16. Luke 5:16 says, Jesus often slipped away to be alone so he could pray. That was part of his life. And so if you're saying, I want to be like Jesus, then that's how you're going to live your life, which brings me to number three in your outline. I want to talk about the impact of time with the Father. When you take time, because why? I know this is going to be a challenge, particularly if you haven't been doing this. And so this is going to be like changing the course of a river or a stream, okay? And so just understand it's going to take some determination, and we'll start small and let it build, okay? So we're not about bowling you over. But Mark 1:35 and then verse 39. Let me read it, and I want you just to listen. All right, Mark 1:35, 39. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, went off to a solitary place where he prayed. We've heard that. Then it says, Simon, or Peter, and his companions also got up, and they went to look for him. And when they found him, they exclaimed, Lord, everyone is looking for you. And Jesus said, let us go somewhere else to the nearby villages so I can preach there also. That is why I have come. So he traveled throughout Galilee. All right, now here's what I'm going to do. I want to show you what this passage declares as a life pattern. And I want to remind all of us, this is why we're focusing on discipleship. This is why we said we need a man who is sold out to discipleship. And that's why we've got Pastor Richardson on staff with us now. But we want somebody dedicated just thinking about that 24/7. And what I want you to understand is this passage in Mark chapter 1, listen, is showing you how Jesus discipled his men. This is discipleship happening right in front of your eyes. This is what discipleship does. When you are discipling somebody, this is what you do, and that's what our Lord is doing. So Jesus modeled for us, and he's teaching us the reward of a daily quiet time with God. And what God is saying is, this is not optional in our life. If we want to chase after the Lord, if you want to see a life change, then this is what you do. And so let me just show you, because of his morning time, our Lord impacted his life in three ways. And I give this to you in your life point outline. Number one, because of prayer, his prayer time, number one, Jesus was redirected. Do you notice when the disciples said, Peter said, Lord, people are here and they're wanting to meet with you. Jesus had just had his time alone with the Father, right? The first thing out of our Lord's mouth was, let us go someplace else. And what Lord's teaching us is, he became redirected. In other words, when I get alone with God, even for 15 minutes, the first part of my day, I get enlightened. In other words, God impresses upon me what I need to be doing to give me direction for my day. So Jesus was enlightened as a man on earth, and he lived his life to teach us how to do life, and he became redirected. He simply said, the Father said, his will is to not keep doing it here. We need to go someplace else. There are times you stop something and you begin something else, right? And so your time alone with God will teach you that. Number two, Jesus became refueled. He became redirected and he became refueled. He said, let us go somewhere else. Listen, so I can preach. Why? Because that's why I'm here. And his time alone with God just refueled him. It energized him. He became enlightened and then he got energized because he was all man. And so it's like, this is what I'm doing. If you want to get energy for teaching the Word of God in our Sunday school time, then that means being alone with him. Anything to energize your walk with the Lord, you need time alone with him. And then number three, Jesus became resolved. His time alone with the Lord redirected his life, refueled his life, and gave him a huge amount of resolve. He said, let us go somewhere else so I can preach. That is why I came. This is why I'm here. And I tell you what, it's been difficult during these last 12 months. And maybe you've lost some of your umph. You've lost some of your, let me get up and get at it. And time alone with God brings you back to the place, hey, this is why I'm here. I want to get at it. Because I don't have very long. And God has promised me he wants to do something great in my life and in this world. And God has shown us what he wants to do. Look at what he's done here on the hill. You can go and find out. We're glad to tell you the story of God's journey with us and what he's brought us from where we were, a small functioning body, to where we are today. And so what I'm simply saying is, if you're in a period of confusion and uncertainty and maybe fear in these days, what God, the Bible is saying is time alone with God and his word is the pathway to understanding what God wants you to do. That's why we do this. If I can tell you anything about the power of a quiet time, here's what I realized. The quiet time is the heart of people who lead a life of significance and impact and influence for the Lord. What I'm telling you is every person that you read about with regards to the Christian life, one of the things you can know is a common denominator among every one of them. People who write books, people who are pastoring or leading great churches, people who've got ministries that are touching families high and low, people that have been in ministry for decades. Do you know why they're still doing it? Do you know why they're still effective? Every one of them have a time alone with God every day. That is common. That is part of it. And so, and the second thing is, this is the heart. When you see people who finish well, they finish well. How many of you want to finish well? Don't we all? I want to finish well. I don't want my family moaning. Excuse me, I'm sorry. When we pass away because of how I didn't live my life good. And what I'm simply saying is people who finish well, they finish well with their marriage. They finish well with their family. They finish well with following after Jesus. They have a quiet time. They get alone with the Lord. Every person I know right now who is doing well emotionally and spiritually during this pandemic, every one of them have a singular thing in common. They spend time with God every day. That's just the reality. So let me close in the time I've got. I want to show you how you can launch your day. I want to talk about 7 minutes. Okay, I don't know where you are. I know some of you are like, you've been in this, you've been doing it, but there's some of you that haven't. So for those of you who have, just cool your jets and just thank the Lord, help it get started in somebody else's life, okay? And so let me talk about 7 minutes. And so let me, first of all, and I think this is in your outline, if it wasn't, it's supposed to be. Let me talk about how you prepare for time alone with God. And I've got three things to give you. If I want to prepare to be alone with the Lord, number one, like Jesus did, I need to set a time. In other words, there's a time I'm going to start my every day so that I can be alone with Him. I think the best time is in the morning. But if it needs to be for you later at night, there's no law here that says thou shalt. You have to do it. So if it's some other time works best because of just how your life is, then whatever the point is, you schedule it. It's what's going to happen. And you don't let anything interfere with that. All right. Number two, you find a place. In other words, you don't want to start when you get out of bed, or you don't want to start thinking about, okay, where do I need to do this? You need to already have that settled. Okay, so I've got a time, I've got a place where I'm going to go, and then number three, I come prepared. I got my Bible, and I've got something to write and take notes with. Why? Because God's going to speak. So you got a Bible and your notebook. All right, so let's talk about 7 minutes with God. When you say, Pastor, why 7 minutes? I don't know, just work with me. 7 minutes, okay? So if how are you going to do 7 minutes? All right, first of all, 30 seconds. All right, you start off with the first 30 seconds. What do you do in the first 30 seconds? First 30 seconds is preparation. All right, it's just like getting yourself spiritually and emotionally ready. It means that your phone is on silent. It's better if it's just out of the room, and certainly no TV is on. And maybe just say, you know, Father, I just want to thank you that you gave me a night to rest. You know, the house didn't burn down. You know, the water didn't bust again. You know, whatever. And I've got the hope of a new day. And so, Father, I just want to thank you. And maybe you just say, maybe you say three things to the Lord. Father, I want to ask you to be here with me. I ask you to, Lord, in these moments, just to draw near to me. I want to hear you speak. And so that's preparation. And that just takes about 30 seconds. And then for 4 minutes, you spend reading the Bible. 4 minutes of reading the Bible. You say, where do I do that? All right, you have a plan. A great plan would be to maybe be in the Gospel of John. That's a great place to start. Or maybe you want to take the book of James. Either one of those would be good. And We would love, our library is out of operation right now, but if you'd like to get one of our Through the Bible in a Year Bibles, we've got those, and we can get that to you. You can check in at the information desk and get some direction on that, or come by our church office, and we'll be glad to help you with that. So you do that for 4 minutes. You're just in the Word. You're reading the Word of God. And then the last half, for 2.5 minutes, is prayer. For 2.5 minutes. And I'm just talking about getting in the game, you know, just starting. At least you're doing something. You're moving in the right direction. And you say, well, I understand this is maybe entrance level, but I've still kind of got the EBGBs about, I'm not sure how to do that. How do I pray? It's a great question. So let me give you an acrostic. It's not new with me. It's certainly not made by me. But you take the word ACTS, A-C-T-S, all right? A, how do I pray? A means adoration. I just start off in my prayer time and I just glorify God. Lord, you're the creator of heaven and earth. God, I glorify you. I bless you. You're the one who formed me in my mother's womb. That's what the Bible says. You created the stars and the heavens and the universe. And I don't know, maybe you guys, I don't know if you're comfortable with that. I don't have a problem telling the Father I love him. God, I love you. I love you, Lord, and I'm thankful for what you've done in my life. So it's just adoration. Then the C is confession. And you admit to God what God already knows. You confess to him where you are, maybe where you've blown it in your life. It's not like he doesn't already know, but you just come clean. And you ask him to forgive you because of Jesus. Lord, I just ask you. And then the T is thanksgiving. You thank him for what he's done in your life. You thank him for what God has given you, because you look around and everything you've got is a gift from him. Everything's a gift. Your mind, your abilities, those are all gifts. He gave you your loved ones. He provides for you. Everything, every good and perfect gift, the Bible says, comes down from above. And then the S is supply. All right. And so you close out your prayer saying, Father, this is where I need the Calvary to show up today. Right. So you're like, do I get to that? Yeah, you get to that. You're just like, Lord, I need you today, or I'm going under. Or Lord, I've just got this burden in my heart and I'm asking you, this is a time to pray for your husband, to pray for your wife, to pray for your children. Why would you do that? Because who else is doing it? Who else is praying for your spouse if you're not? Who else is praying for your kids if you're not? And so this is how you just kind of get in the game. And I'll tell you, 7 minutes, that is entry level. And once you get into this, I mean, it won't be long. You'll be up to 10, 15, 20, 30 minutes, because you're just going to be more that's going to be coming out. You and I need this. It is precious to God. He loves us. He wants to meet with us. If you're his son or his daughter, and you are choosing time to stay and to meet with your Creator. And listen, let me just close with this. I know that all of us are going to look back on 2020, if we don't already, and we look back with a sense of loss. Maybe you look back with a sense of resentment or grief. But what if we could look back on God's blessings? Because when you're spending time with Him, God is revealing to you what He's doing in the midst of our lives and that this world is going through. And to close in your life point outline, start today that spending time alone with Him so that 2021 will be a year spent under the Father, not under our circumstances. Does that make sense? Let's stand together, all right? This is a time for commitment. I look forward, Lord willing, to being with you next week. I pray for God's blessing in your time alone with Him on everything here. We appreciate all the work that's being done by my staff around me and keeping things going. And pray that God will just bless everything that's having to be done in our buildings to get it ready so that we will meet here. And Lord willing, we're planning being right back in here next Sunday morning. So we just want to celebrate that. Father in heaven, thank you this morning for making this so clear. God, that one of the things that you did during these last 12 months is you gave us a gift of time. And all of us need to think about how we used it or didn't. And so, Father, we're grateful that we can go through these weeks leading up to Easter. And that will help us understand maybe where we've wandered, that have taught us things about ourselves that maybe we didn't really realize, and will get us prepared to celebrate the greatest thing that has ever happened on this planet. And that is the birth and the life and the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, the second person of the Godhead, who came to be our Savior and Redeemer. Father, we thank you that we have a hope and a future. And God, we pray that starting today, we will have a more intense focus and that we will not live under our circumstances, but we live under you. You are watching over everything. So thank you, Father. We bless you for today. Enlarge your church according to your plan. Draw men and women to yourself. May you find us useful to share the gospel as we go through our week. And invite others to come and worship with us. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen and amen. God bless you guys. You're dismissed this morning.